gospel reading comes from Matthew, the 24th chapter. It's entitled, The Necessity of Watchfulness. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Let's pray. Lord, we invite you into the midst of our meditations tonight as we gather around your word once again, and in the shadows of this night to experience the warming presence of your Spirit surrounding us, holding us, keeping us. Help us to focus this evening once again upon your word, a word that brings life and hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I was reading this gospel lesson earlier this week, I kind of zeroed in on that final verse of the gospel that I just shared with you. As I hear these words and I repeat them to you again, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. And as I zeroed in on that specific word, coming, it made me think about some of the seasonal comings and goings that are very much a part of life in these days. I don't know whether it's just the change in seasons and the coming and the going of fall and now the presence of winter, or as we've just experienced with the comings and the goings of loved ones and family members around the Thanksgiving holiday. It just seems like this is an apt message to reflect upon during this time of year. And as reflective as these words are, it drew me back to some other reflections that I've been having in my own private moments. Lately, I've been going back and reading some old letters that I wrote to my parents almost 50 years ago when I was a young cadet attending the United States Air Force Academy, and I was stunned at how much time had passed. And as I wrote those letters and was reading them, I was vividly brought back into a specific event or a coming event that I will never forget, and I wanted to offer that for some thought for you tonight. It occurred near the end of my first year at the Air Force Academy, brand new first-year cadet. It was the spring of 1977, and it was the tradition in those days that cadets, as they began concluding their first year of training, that there had to be this week of intense review of the year's trainings. They called it Recognition Week, but at least the students of the student body had a whole different terminology for it, and I'll get to that in a minute. But as we would gather for this week, and it was tradition that you had many things that tested your aptitude, and of course, rifle manual was a big one as we learned how to march throughout that first year and handle a rifle and so forth. Endless inspections of our rooms as well as our uniforms. You'd have to recite from memory the entire Air Force aircraft inventory and all manner of other knowledge, always standing at attention while these upperclassmen were grilling you and observing you and critiquing you. You ran everywhere for the better part of a week, saluted everything that moved, sat at attention at your meals, and it went on and on and on. The entire experience, of course, was entitled Recognition Week, because once you completed this milestone, you were recognized now as a full-fledged part of the cadet wing, no longer subject to the whims and all the hazings of those upperclassmen that you had endured for the better part of a year. But of course, as a first-year cadet still waiting to endure this event, I was often filled with a mix of anticipation that finally I'd get here and I'd get recognized, but on the other hand, a bit of dread that it was coming, because the stories were minion about this quote-unquote recognition week. It was an ordeal that was meant to put the fear of God in you. I'll never forget those first tense minutes when the coming of this event was near. My roommate and I woke up before first light, nervous as all get out, knowing that any minute the time of testing was going to begin. But we didn't know when. You could cut the tension in the room that morning with a knife as we lay in our cots, waiting and waiting. Suddenly, outside the door of our room, we heard a scuffle and a soft count. 1, 2, 3, wham! The door flew open to our room. A flood of upperclassmen came into the midst of us. My roommate and I nearly knocked each other flat just trying to get our pants on. And as we were running around the room, they were haunting us and barraging us with all kinds of commands. Get out of the rack! Move, move, move! You're already late! It had finally come. My recognition week had begun. Now, friends, I know that there are many comings in life in your imagination as well, and hopefully they aren't as shocking as maybe that one is and as vivid as that one was for me. But I suspect there are events that kind of have this blending of emotion, excitement about the coming, maybe anticipation, but also the uncertainty of when is it going to happen? Will it happen? The coming that is spoken of in our gospel lesson today seems to reveal this reality. Matthew is writing about the coming of our Lord in this way. About that day and hour, no one knows, so keep awake, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Now, clearly, there's a certainty here. The Lord is coming, we're told. But knowing when isn't so clear. And that tension is by design. It is a part of this season of Advent that we are beginning to celebrate. The entire season is titled Advent because it means coming or to come. And it's characterized by a four-week period that we mark with the lighted candles on the Advent wreath as we do a kind of countdown to the celebration of Christmas. And we do so with great anticipation, waiting and watching and hoping and being ready. But mixed into that is this tension of he's coming, but when and how? For the Son of Man comes at an unexpected hour. In light of that, I want to share with you three thoughts that have been running through my mind as I've been pondering these things on why we must be ready for our Lord's coming. And it's not just some future time that we're anticipating, but also how our Lord comes in our present times. So first, I want to challenge you with this thought, and it's very simple. Our Lord comes in ordinary moments, ordinary events. Jesus points out the ordinary nature of his coming by recalling a story from our holy history about Noah, and perhaps everyone in this room remembers the days of learning about Noah in Sunday school, Noah and the Great Flood. It seems that the neighbors of Noah thought him a fool for building a gigantic boat on dry land, of all things, all because Noah chose to listen to the urgings of God's Spirit. So these neighbors were told, kind of ignored, perhaps even made fun of Noah as they continued to live out their lives as normal, totally absorbed with the daily affairs of their lives, which seemed far more important than anything that drew attention to God. Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, as the Lord tells us, was the rule of the day as they ignored God in their lives and continued to live as they chose. And the result became a surprise as the floodwaters rose and they were swept away unprepared. Our Lord's coming through this story stresses the suddenness that this coming can have, a surprising quality to it, unexpected, and I dare say technically happening in the very midst of life. Here's why I say that. If we read further, it highlights some rather mundane things that are happening. Two will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and another left. Over the years, as I've read that particular passage, I've heard interpretations that try to strike fear into one's heart, as if you're not ready, you're going to be swept away or left behind, and you certainly don't want to be the one left behind. But I read recently a reflection on these verses that added a nuanced understanding that I think I can really connect with. People of Jesus' day, like most days, would often be found working in a field or grinding grain in a local mill. But when it talks about being taken, one taken and one left behind, the thought that was uplifted that really seemed to strike a chord with me is that to be taken is to be captivated by God, captivated by His presence, made more fully aware of who He is and what He's about in the world, to be drawn more fully into God, absorbed by His presence, His power, His peace, His purpose for our lives. And as for those that might be left, or those who make a choice perhaps not to listen to the urgings of God's Spirit, to live as if there's nothing new under the sun, ho-hum. So this attitude suggests to me the second reflection I wanted you to struggle with, perhaps wrestle with yourselves. Yes, God comes in the ordinary, everyday part of life, but ordinarily we also run the risk of missing how our Lord comes. Well, why is that? Maybe it's because we get all wrapped up in the ordinary nature of our lives. We fail to recognize our God's quiet, humble appearance in our midst, in the people around us, the conversations that we share, the circumstances that shape us. Truth be told, I fear sometimes that I get lulled to a spiritual sleep because of just the mundane, everyday routine of my life. I wonder how many of us sleepwalk through our lives as we experience the same wake up every day, the same breakfast, the same drive to work or school, the same tasks each day with the same people, retiring to our homes at night, engaging in more of the same things we always do before we tumble into bed and wake up with a new day and do it all over again. But take note of this. And this is what gives me hope. Our God is no stranger to the routine of our lives. That's why I believe our Lord said, "Keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." God's word wants to make it clear that God persists in introducing Himself to people every day in the midst of everyday life. Everyday routine. Here's a few examples to draw our attention to this. I know we all have heard of the man Moses. Do you know that when God spoke to Moses, he was doing a monotonous task? Out shepherding sheep in the wilderness when suddenly the voice and the urging of God came to him. God made himself known to a man named Gideon one day while he was busy performing the tedious chore of stomping and tramping on grapes in a vineyard. God entered into the life of Elisha and called him to the role of prophet while he was making round after round after round with his team of oxen and his plow in the field. And even in the New Testament, the person of Jesus, the Son of God, calls Peter, his brother Andrew, and two other brothers, James and John, to a deeper, more depthful walk with him. When? At the time in which they were sitting along the seashore, mending their fishing nets. All of these ways, it seems, points out that God approaches his people in the midst of the daily grind. Did you hear that? Are you willing to be open to that? Amazed by that? Which brings me to the third challenge I want to uplift. Yes, God comes in the ordinary, and yes, ordinarily we have a tendency to miss him unless we choose to be ready for those comings. And throughout these upcoming weeks, we're going to do some announcements in church again and again about how God enters into our world and into our lives. But I hope that you won't confine it just to places of worship like this, but that you'll begin to envision how God can approach you and me beyond the walls of this place as we enter into whatever we're doing. This is what makes the good news message of our God so incredible and wonder-producing for me. Think about it. As we draw closer to that powerful news of the birth of our Savior, it reminds us again clearly that the King of the universe chose to enter into our everyday world as a tiny, vulnerable child that needed to rely upon the nurturings of his mother. And that child was born to a poor, teenaged girl who knew no other way in life but dependency upon the young man who helped her, named Joseph, protected her, provided for her. And she brought the Son of God into the world in the shelter that was barely fit for animals. How ordinary, and yet how wonderful. To know of a God who loves us so much, there's no place where God will not come to be with his people. I'm trying to listen to that news with fresh new ears, to be more awake to this story that I've heard since I was a small child, but to hear it now with the ears of a man who has walked for many years thinking about this story and what God means, and to take that into my heart in a fresh new way. That's what Advent is all about. Looking at the world and who we are to be in the world in a fresh new way. Last night, as I was resting and as I was pondering this message through the night, and I don't know about you, but I don't always sleep well fully through every night. I wake up in the wee hours of the morning and thoughts are going through my head. And as I was pondering this message for today, the thought came into my mind, what would it be like this Advent if I opened my eyes and chose to do so every day, asking a simple question? How will I look for God today? How will I look for God? If indeed he is coming, and I don't know exactly when, how will I prepare myself to look for all the ways that he will reveal himself to me uniquely, wonderfully, in an ordinary way. Maybe it'll come in some of those favored Christmas carols that I love to sing during this season. Maybe it'll be in a devotion that I read and it says that particular word that I need to hear. Maybe it'll be in the smile of a child or time spent with friends over a cup of coffee at the local cafe. How will I see God in this time in my life? That's what coming is all about. God choosing to be with his people in ways that we can't predict. And so we are ready, open-minded, and open-hearted to welcome him when he comes. May it be so for you as well.